Brave and loyal followers, long ago we resolved to serve neither the Romans nor anyone other than God himself, who alone is the true and just Lord of mankind. The time has now come that bid us prove our determination by our deeds. Eleazar ben Yair, as recorded by the historian Josephus. My name is Becca Reiswig, and you're listening to So That's What Happened, a podcast where I share some of my favorite stories from our collective history. The topics covered will range from the inspirational and world-changing to the dark and just plain bizarre. We'll be doing flyby information dumps on things like, who was Amelia Earhart and what happened to her and her navigator? What does jazz music have to do with Nazi propaganda and espionage? What happened at Masada to give it its dark and mournful reputation? And what on earth was the Emu War? History is full of engaging and fascinating stories, whether we go back to the dawn of time or only a few years ago. So, settle in as we explore some of my favorites, right here on So That's What Happened. Day 2 of Launch Week brings us to one of the many dark corners of our world, the Siege of Masada. Please be advised, this story deals with mass suicide. The research and writing of this episode was difficult, but I believe it is a story that deserves to be told. That being said, please proceed with caution. Before we get into the siege and the surrounding tragedy, first, I'd like to take a quick look at the background and cultural context for the events so we can better understand what exactly happened and why. Let's start with Masada itself. The Israel Nature and Parks Authority describes it as, on an isolated clifftop in the heart of the desert, a lofty plateau overlooking the Dead Sea and the untamed landscape of the Judean desert, there once stood a magnificent palace. Masada is located on a plateau to the west of the Dead Sea, a veritable island in the air and, according to Google Maps, an hour and a half drive or so south of Jerusalem along the Dead Sea. So if you're in that area, I'd suggest taking a day trip down to the Masada National Park to check it out. Though maybe plan something a little more lighthearted for afterward. But you might be asking yourself, what is Masada actually? Well, I'm glad you did ask. Masada actually means fortress, and was reportedly first used by the Jewish high priest Jonathan sometime around 100 BCE. It later became a fortification for Herod, who also built lavish palaces there. This would have been around 60 years later, about 40 BCE. The Romans continued to utilize Masada as a guard outpost for several decades, leading right up into our story, actually. So what was going on around here before and during the siege to result in a group of rebels taking refuge there and, ultimately, taking their own lives? Well, at this point in time, tensions between the Romans and the Hebrew people were reaching a boiling point. One of the rebel groups were called the Sicarii by Josephus because of the short blades they concealed under their clothes, known as sica. These rebels were known to be violent and dangerous. They're often considered the first organized group of cloak and dagger assassins, actually. In the time surrounding the siege at Masada, they were actively attempting to drive Roman rule out of Jerusalem. It is partially because of their outspoken and aggressive resistance of the Romans that the precarious peace that existed in the region toppled, and Rome decided to take a firmer hold of Jerusalem. The Sicarii responded with blood. In 66 CE, a faction led by Menahem ben Judah assaulted the Roman garrison stationed in Masada and slaughtered all 700 of them. The Sicarii were then able to use the fortress as a staging point. They launched a successful siege of Jerusalem, though the local populace were no more happy about this than the Romans were. They took control of the temple in Jerusalem and proceeded to execute anyone who stood against them. This leads us into what would become the Siege of Masada. When the Romans drove the Sicarii out of Jerusalem in 70 CE, they also killed Menahem, leaving Eleazar ben Yair to lead the remaining rebels back to Masada. Thanks to both sides of the conflict, Jerusalem was left in ruins, and with the ruined city back under their command, the Roman forces pursued the rebels into the desert. The fortress of Masada was the last bastion of resistance, housing 960 people, including women and children. Remember, this fortress is located on a high plateau, roughly 400 meters or over 1,300 feet tall. At that time, there was only one narrow, meandering path up the sheer rock face, making a direct assault nearly impossible. Additionally, the rebels had held the outpost for roughly 4 years, meaning they were well situated for a siege. The Romans, 8,000 strong, were led by Flavius Silva. They dug in and established several camps at the base of Masada. In times of peace, as well as war, the Roman armies were active in building infrastructure for Rome, making the construction of a simple siege wall around Masada, as well as the Roman camp to protect them from attack, relatively simple. They were then free to construct a ramp up a slope on the western side out of dirt and wooden support beams. The siege went on for several months before Silva seemingly got tired of waiting out the rebels and moved in trebuchet and battering rams to take out the defenders' wall. It quickly became apparent to the Sicarii that the Romans would soon break through. Eleazar had a difficult decision to make for his people. They could surrender. Some of them would be killed, but many would survive to be slaves to the Roman Empire. They could fight, but that would likely lead to a similar outcome, just with more dead. Or they could remain free until the end. He went with the third option. The rebels were ordered to burn down what they could of the fortifications, and then kill themselves. 10 men were chosen by casting lots to kill the survivors. The 10 then chose one of their number to kill the other 9, and then himself. According to Josephus, 2 women and 5 children managed to hide themselves and survive. The following is an excerpt from Josephus about what the Romans found. Now for the Romans, they expected that they should be fought in the morning, when, accordingly, they put on their armor and laid bridges of planks upon their ladders from their banks to make an assault upon the fortress, which they did, but saw nobody as an enemy, but a terrible solitude on every side, with a fire within the place as well as a perfect silence. So they were at a loss to guess at what had happened. At length, they made a shout, as if it had been at a blow given by the battering ram, to try whether they could bring out anyone that was within. The women heard the noise, and came out of their underground cavern, and informed the Romans of what had been done, as it was done, and the second of them clearly described all both what was said, and what was done, and the manner of it. Yet they did not easily give their attention to such a desperate undertaking, and did not believe it could be as they said. They also attempted to put out the fire, and quickly cutting themselves away through it, they came within the palace, and so met with the multitude of the slain, but could take no pleasure in the fact, though it were done to their enemies. Nor could they do other than wonder at the courage of their resolution and the immovable contempt of death, which so great a number of them had shown when they went through with such an action as that was. It's hard to look at the abundant loss of life with anything but despair. These were brutal people in a brutal time. They fought for their freedom and refused to be taken as slaves or die somewhere not on their own terms. The Romans looked on their actions with awe, amazed at the resolve it took to accomplish them. The story was lost for several centuries. Though Josephus recorded it in 78 CE, only 8 or so years later, not many people read his works in the following centuries. It did gain recognition, though, in the 1920s due to the poem Masada by Isaac Lambden, just in time for this tale of bravery and defiance to perhaps inspire the uprising in the Warsaw Ghetto during Hitler's Holocaust. So, that's what happened, for better or for worse. If you're interested in learning more about the Siege of Masada, the closest we have to a first-hand account of what happened is contained in Flavius Josephus's The Jewish War in Book 7. Josephus's works are a must-read if you're interested in Jewish history. The Masada National Park website has some excellent articles if you're looking for more of an overview of the area, and the Jewish Virtual Library has a lovely article about Masada as well. It is worth mentioning that there are those who have called Josephus's account into question, citing the lack of archaeological evidence of his version of events. However, seeing as his is the only version we have, and its writing in close proximity to the time of the events took place, it is the story that will remain. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating and reviewing it, as well as subscribing. And if you'd like to directly help me, you can head over to Patreon and search So That's What Happened. I'm still figuring out what additional content to make available to patrons, so if you have any ideas about that or topics you'd like to hear me cover, send an email to sothatswhathappenedpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find me over on Instagram and Twitter at stwhpodcast. Tall, tall is the wall of Masada. Deep, deep is the pit at its feet. And if the silent voice deceived me, from the high wall to the deep pit I will fling me. And let there be no sign remaining, and let no remnant survive. Isaac Lambden.